Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. As the world went remote, esports and gaming had to migrate their large-scale tournaments to virtual. Talk shows and events had to be shot from distributed locations, and even the fanciest of studios gave way to live stream from people's couches. OS Studios seized on this opportunity by using the latest emerging technologies to create the best of live content in new ways. Today, I'm chatting with Ian Packard, one of the founders. We're going to talk about how technology is enabling next-generation event production, why our attention is zooming out, and what the future holds as in-person reemerges. So let's get after it. Ian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Fred. I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. So can you tell us the OS Studios founder story? Like, what's your origination? How did you guys come about? And what's your purpose for being?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be clever with how far back I go, because my co-founders and I go back. I mean, it must be getting on for a decade now. So there's been a lot of good things and a lot of slightly rubbish things in between all of that. But going right back, John, who's one of the co-founders, there's four of us at OS. Him and I both studied producing, directing television entertainment at the National Film and Television School in the UK, which sounds incredible. And it was incredible. And, you know, we learned how to do multicam shows and chat shows and game shows and all of this. At the core of it, you know, coming up with entertaining formats that would fill a 30-minute slot on TV. The problem with that was, though, is that, you know, once you graduate, you're going to start at the bottom of the pile at a major broadcaster, maybe spend 15, 20 years getting back into the hot seat to be able to direct your show. And that's all well and good, but that really wasn't going to cut it for John and I. You know, we weren't big-headed about ourselves, but we were graduating at about the time that live streaming became the sort of thing that, you know, it wasn't super affordable. Not everyone could buy it, but, you know, if you were a small company, you could certainly make that kind of capital investment and you would then be able to do live shows yourself. You know, it suddenly became a possibility that, you know, with a box about the size of, you know, a PC tower, a camera and a light and a microphone, you could stream that to Facebook or YouTube, and you're doing exactly the same thing as what, you know, a major broadcaster was doing, just with a lot less red tape and a much smaller crew and just yourself. So, you know, we graduated, we're like, okay, well, look, there's two avenues. One, we back ourselves, let's go off and come up with something. Let's try and make live our thing. Or, you know, let's go and join an apprenticeship program at a major broadcaster. And, you know, in 10 years' time, we can do some of these shows again. So John and I, we banded together in the UK and we created Mayhem. Mayhem was a traditional production company, so branded content, commercials, things like that. And it was at this point, while we were kind of building Mayhem, that I got in touch with my old friend Sam. Sam at the time worked at the NBA. The NBA were looking to take a leap into gaming. Sam was, I believe, was leading that department or that drive. You know, as part of gaming, certainly as people know now, but maybe not so much back then, live streaming your gaming was the massive next thing to be happening within gaming, you know. So the NBA wanted to get involved with that. So they wanted to launch a Twitch channel. Sam knew that John and I had been experimenting in that field. So he gave us an opportunity. He said, look, the NBA want to do this. I want to get you guys involved as an agency to do 10 live streams around the States for the NBA to get their channel off the ground. That must have been 2015. I think that led to 250, 300 plus NBA Twitch channel streams, which ultimately became the genesis point of OS, because for us, that was a proof of concept. John and I had three suitcases full of live streaming equipment that we flew all over the States, going to stadiums, to arenas, to storefronts. We went to a couple of diners. We'd plug into the wall. We'd plug into the internet. We'd set up, bring out some NBA player that, as a Brit, I had no idea who they were. So I shook their hand like they were just Joe Bloggs. And we'd do some gaming with them with some influencer who, again, at the time, I had no idea who they were. You know, they'd have to make $200,000 a month on streaming on Twitch or whatever. So yeah, the NBA was our kind of case study one. And from that, you know, I think since then we must have done 10 or 15,000 hours of live streaming to all sorts of brands who know gaming or are new to gaming. And it just kept growing from there. And as we wrap up 2020, we've had our most successful year to date. So I hope that was a mildly condensed version of OS.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, and I think what's interesting is the momentum sort of heading your guys' way, like in terms of gaming and live streaming becoming huge trends and huge sort of areas of growth. And then all of a sudden, COVID hits. How does that impact your business and sort of bring another level of relevance to what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I think the first thing is kind of the equipment side of things. So the first leg up, as I mentioned, was John and I fitting an entire studio into a suitcase. And that ticked one kind of market need. The second one was COVID. And I think it actually must have been probably about this time last year that I think it was Matt Arden or TJ from the NBA 2K lead emailed me and said, hey, COVID hadn't started yet. So we weren't really thinking about it in a COVID capacity. We were thinking more in a remote capacity. Anyway, so they're saying, you know, they every year they do the APAC tournament. So they put on a tournament in, I think last year it was in Korea and Seoul. They didn't want to fly out all of the casters to Seoul. They wanted to have the casters from our little studio in New York. And they wanted us to come up with a technical solution to do so. And I think OS was only 5 or 6 people last January. So myself and John, we already had a control room by then, but it was, you know, it really wasn't designed for remote. Nothing was really designed for remote back then. So I spent a good 2 weeks trying every little bit of software that existed, every bit of hardware that existed at the time, essentially trying to work out, you know, how do we do this in the best possible quality? And, you know, essentially the project was, how do we get all of the gameplay from Korea to our studio in New York? How do we put the casters on a desk in our studio? And we link the whole thing up together. In 2021, that's super easy to do. In 2020, you had to think a little bit about it. So we did that and it was a real success. I mean, it was, you know, I think because of the time difference, we were live from 2 a.m. till 6 a.m. So, I mean, you know, certainly one of the more interesting kind of hours of projects, but that was the kind of genesis point. It was like, okay, great, we've made this work. And then, you know, horribly, unfortunately, 2 months later, COVID hit. And, you know, I don't think anyone wants to, you know, say that they've had a great year despite the suffering that the world's been through. But we rose to the occasion. As founders, we were a small company. We were seeing lots of friends of ours at big companies being laid off, which, to be honest, as a tiny company, it terrified us. It was like, you know, we're a little company and we are fighting tooth and nail to keep our employees. You know, you see the ESPNs of this world like laying off their entire workforce in April. It's like you're in a month into this. So John and I, we sat down with Sam and we said, look, you know, how are we going to keep going as a company? How are we going to make sure we don't get, you know, how do we protect OS? You know, we're in a delicate position. We're only 9 months old. Remote was going to be a thing. We had a, you know, an understanding of it about certain ways in which we could do it. And very quickly we realized unless we kept investigating how to do it better and better, we'd get caught short. So we dove into it. One of our biggest clients, Twitch, took a, you know, they said, look, we're going to be doing this project. We understand you have an understanding of how to do remote. We said, yes. And that was a kind of case study too. You know, we had plenty of projects fire, but that was the second remote project. And that was a big project. That was Bud Light, Battle of the Best. We had 16 of the biggest streamers in the world, remote casters. It was a 3-4 day event, graphics. Everything was completely delivered. Everyone was remote apart from 5 or 6 of us in the control room. And then the rest of the staff all operating the other equipment remotely from home. And that was great. We proved to ourselves, it's like we just did a massive project full of AAA titles and we proved it. We proved it out. And the evolution was that was like, all right, how do we keep doing this but have less people in the control room? How do we remove any risk from this whatsoever? And we built more and more systems. So all of the equipment we had, people could operate it from their iMacs at home or their PCs at home to the point where, you know, actually you just needed one person to go in there and make sure it was all powered on. So yeah, COVID was a strange one for us, but, you know, we cracked it early. We put a lot of effort into finding really original and technical and easy solutions. It's certainly not been easy. There's been a few turkeys. We've learned a huge amount. We've certainly taken on board, you know, from a consumer point of view, how do you make it easy for them to get involved without overcomplicating it? Things like that. So yeah, as a result, we really flourished in 2020 or last year. I think, you know, we worked with 20 or 30 or 40 new clients. We grew our team to about 14 by the end of the year. And, you know, we've arrived in 2021 with sort of huge grand plans. You know, we're going to grow out our studio environment. We're going to build a second studio. We're going to put ourselves in a capacity that we can do multiple shows at once with multiple teams. And then, you know, underline everything that we've learned from 2020 with the 2021 goal is how do we achieve technical excellence and everything? It's all very well being able to do it. But if it's not enjoyable to be a part of, or if the client doesn't enjoy how it looks, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. We've got to get it right. So that's what we want with 2021.
It's really interesting too, because, you know, we share a mutual friend in Matt Arden from NBA 2K. And when I first was talking to Matt about, you know, I kind of gone, they launched the league. I went to like, their big event that was in I think Queens or in Brooklyn, they built out a whole studio. And then it was like, oh, we're going remote. Like everything has to be remote. And I kind of thought, oh, wow, that's gaming. They have to figure it out. And then you're like, oh, no, wait, all the newscasts are all remote. And then businesses, all the events. We run a lot of accelerators and startup competitions for large corporations. And you guys ran 6 of our events last year. And nobody really thinks of the complexity of the fact that all of our judges were in different states. Each one needed to be streamed in. When they talk, they come on live. They need their nameplate right. They all have different speeds of internet, right? So there's like all these variables that as a consumer, you just turn on your screen and you want it to work and look nice. And I thought you guys, the introduction to you, I remember being like, ah, should we just do this all on Zoom? Or should we really produce this? And working with you guys was awesome. But the level of complexity that I got to see, and you don't think about all these variables and what it is, and you guys made it very easy. So I think one thing I would love is like, do you guys see, obviously gaming is a big bread and butter for you, but you mentioned sort of Bud Light. What's your value prop to corporations that are out there that maybe aren't in the gaming space, but do live events of some sort?
Absolutely. I think, you know, so far I've talked a lot about the tech and the kind of, you know, how do we make it happen? And as, you know, as I've talked to some colleagues about, it's like, well, let's park that in January of this year. We've proved it can work, but that's, you know, just having it work is one thing. But, you know, if you actually look at a cross section of our clients for last year, I'd say probably half of them are non-endemics to esports and gaming. So we're not just the technical partners with them. You know, they'll come to us and say, hey, look, we really want to get into gaming. We don't really know how to activate in the space. You know, can you put together a plan? This is how much we realistically want to spend. This is who we want to target. And we'll be like, okay, great. Well, we'll put that together. You know, we will put together a marketing strategy. We'll put together a production plan. You know, is it going to be a tournament? Is it going to be a multi-day event? What's it going to look like? And then we'll run the whole thing. We'll make the whole thing completely turnkey. So I think it's the technical has given us the opportunity to do it. The market value proposition to us is sort of, you know, we know what we're doing within gaming. You know, gaming is an incredibly unique space that's growing incredibly quickly. I mean, I think Twitch's viewership grew like some significant percentage last year, you know, yeah. But they've been growing year on year for ages, but last year they went through the roof. And it's a space you definitely want to be activating on. Gamers are a fascinating demographic. They're a sort of demographic you really spend to support. You know, Twitch, the whole concept of Twitch is you subscribe to gamers you like. And these are people who will happily spend $5, $10, $15, $20, $30, $45 a month supporting streamers they like and not, you know, not having a Netflix subscription or not, you know, I mean, none of these people have cable. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm an expat. I've come to America. I have no idea why I would get cable anyway, because I can't justify spending $200, $300 a month on sports that I don't really understand. but, you know, they're a fascinating audience. They're incredibly loyal. You know, you have to be sensitive with them. They will spot big corporations coming at them a mile away. If you try and force something down their throat, they're not going to buy it. But if you approach it in the right way, we have teams who understand the community. It's a fascinating community, and we try to be really sympathetic with it. We try to work with the community when we come up with ideas. A lot of our staff members are deep into the community. So yeah, you know, I think it's like, you know, you want to get into gaming, or even if you just want to activate on Twitch, because Twitch is moving away from doing just gaming. They're doing music and arts and things like that. We know the audience, and we can help to put together a plan, basically, to make sure you succeed and get the kind of viewership that you're looking for and the kind of metrics that are interesting to you.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had Walker Jacobs, the chief revenue officer of Twitch, on the podcast earlier this year, and just seeing how much Twitch has grown, not only with the endemic gaming space, which has exploded, right, but into music, into cooking, into, I mean, it is a full, it's a media empire. It's every much what cable is, and the demographic and the loyalty of the consumer is so intense. It's a really interesting space for brands to think about how to authentically connect. Because something Walker said, and you just said it, is like, these guys, they sniff out the bullshit factor, right? Like, they know right away that like, you're coming in trying to sell a donut to them. Like, you have to be legit. And that takes a certain voice to do.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, there's, you know, we've worked with a lot of really amazing brands in the last 12 months. We have a really strong relationship with Twitch. You've introduced us to a lot of brands, done a lot of shows directly with Twitch for the brands that they work with. And it's not always brand things as well. It's sometimes just brands wanting to be a presence, just wanting to support what's going on. You know, over the holiday break, we did a project with Twitch for the Navy MWR, so the Morale, Welfare and Recreation, which is a sort of, I believe it's a charitable organization. that essentially supports families and sailors, particularly during COVID, because a lot of them were stuck on bases around the world, so couldn't come home, keeps them entertained. And they have an esports program, which this will be the second time we've been a part of through Twitch. And, you know, I think they had brands like Verizon and USAA involved. And in that scenario, they're not trying to, you know, they're not trying to push anything. They just want to be a presence. And, you know, Verizon and a lot of the kind of cellular networks have been, you know, you see them a lot in esports, AT&T. I know T-Mobile are involved. Well, Sprint's now part of T-Mobile. So yeah, we see a lot of brands just, you know, taking some of the sports elements, I think, just sponsoring key parts of it, you know, whether it's we'll sponsor the scoreboard or the leaderboard, or, you know, we just want to have our logo on screen. So it's a real mix, yeah.
In August of 2020, I interviewed Walker Jacobs. He's the chief revenue officer at Twitch. And we talked at length about the passion economy and community-based content. OS Studios is fueling that sense of community through the unique events that they run. They stand out from the pack and they're scalable, both for the businesses that are involved and also for those passionate fans that have really found their niche. So of all these programs that you did in the last year, is there one that stands out to you that's your favorite that, you know, maybe showcases the best of OS or even just you enjoyed the most?
I think after a year of remote, and don't get me wrong, I really like remote. It's a really interesting way of doing things. But what's been a real interesting kind of way, we've been trying to work out how do we operate around COVID. Now, remote, that's become easier because we've rebuilt our control room so people can operate it at home, so people are in the safest possible way of doing it. The challenge comes along is how do we do a hybrid and hybrid show? So, for instance, how do we have one person in a studio, but most of the people remotely? So I'd say, you know, one of the projects we're proudest of last year was we worked with Medium Rare, an agency who put together events with Shaquille O'Neal and Rob Gronkowski. And we started working with them last June for a project called Shaq versus Gronk, which was sort of 3 or 4 hour kind of party show. But I think that, you know, the show that we're really proud of was actually the second one we did with them, which was called Black Entrepreneurs Day. This was hosted by Damon from Shark Tank. And this was a hybrid show. So the only person on site was Damon and his co-host. We did this at the Jane Hotel in New York. And you have to really, really rethink about how you do productions when the whole thing's got to be COVID safe. So yeah. We worked with a company called Paradox. They essentially do on-site testing, on-site paramedics, basically ensure two things. So one, ensure everyone's tested before they go on site. They can't come in the room until they have a positive test. All of that kind of stuff to, you know, make sure that you're not letting anyone even near who's an infection risk. And then once you're actually on the site, how do you kind of put everything together to make sure everyone keeps their distances, but we still get the shots we want? How do we keep everyone safe, basically? So that was really interesting because on one side, that project was executed superbly in that regard. I was really proud about how the team went about their business on that, put together in a really safe plan. Everyone was really happy. Everyone obeyed the rules. It was a really positive place to work, despite what has been a really challenging year. And then secondly, it was actually a superb show. I think we must have had 40, 50 remote guests over a sort of 4 or 5 hour show. And it was fantastic. You know, we were doing a show that, you know, a lot of the show, you know, I love gaming, I love live, but we don't often get to do shows where just like this is, you know, I think Chase were giving out tens of thousands of dollars to different Black-owned small businesses, like live on the show. And it was superb. It was like, you know, we're actually doing a show here, which is a force for good. So yeah, really proud of that. It was executed in a very safe way to a very high degree of quality. And the final result was superb. So looking back on 2020, that's definitely one of the shows I'm most proud of.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. So one of the things is a lot of people listening are innovators, whether they are entrepreneurs or working at large companies. You mentioned something early on that I wanted to kind of come back to, which is when you had to figure out remote, you kind of spent 2 weeks testing every possible tool out there and diving in. Can you talk about sort of your perspective on the need to embrace new technologies and try new things to stay relevant? One of the things we talk about a lot is once you have some success, it's very easy to become complacent and keep doing the tried and true over and over again. How do you protect yourself from that complacency as you guys continue to grow?
We're continually evolving. We find solutions to things. And certainly when we started, it was a case of 5 or 6 or 7 different bits of kit or software being bolted together to make it work. And that worked. And then in the last 12 months, we've essentially been removing pieces or replacing pieces. And actually long-term, we're looking to actually build our own software that kind of fits our needs better because we kind of know all of the different bits that we're using and how we're bolting them together. But it's certainly, you know, if someone came in and looked at it, they'd be like, well, this doesn't make any sense. But to us, it makes complete sense because we've been growing it for 12 months to make it fit our needs. We constantly, you know, a lot of the brands we work with, have relationships with, they're constantly evolving. You know, we see product releases, we rent equipment to try it out. We're constantly trying to find ways. I think there's two things. One, make the whole experience easier for remote people. And two, increase quality. You know, at the end of the day, people's internet connections are getting better and better. You know, where I am in Brooklyn, I'm lucky I've got Fios and I take that for granted. But, you know, one of our editors who lives a mile that way gets 3 megabytes up, 3 megabytes down. And that's the challenge. Basically, you know, when if you're trying to, people aren't going to move houses or go and stay in hotels at the moment just to be part of a show. So how do we make it better? How does the world increase their kind of internet bandwidth on a kind of grander scale to, you know, when more people have good internet, more services are going to offer higher quality at a lower cost. So it'll become easier to do.
Very cool. So I'll get you out of here on this. What's next for OS? Where do you guys see the company growing and going in the future?
I think for us, it's our dream to do the broadcast for an entire esports league. Before COVID hit, we were doing the home stands for the Washington Justice. Washington Justice is one of the Overwatch teams in the Overwatch League. We're doing the home stands, and that's essentially everything involved with a big on-site esports event, bar the actual broadcast. So all the dull stuff like ticketing through to like the in-arena activations and screen design and all the kind of stuff to keep people entertained in between the actual gameplay. And that was kind of like dipping our toe in the water on like major, major events. We'd love to do more of those. I mean, obviously events aren't really good, probably going to be coming back for another 6, 7, 8 months at least. But we'd love to do something big and long term. You know, I think a lot of our projects are, you know, 3 to 4, 5 days of actual live work. We'd love to do a 6 month long project, whether that is a league or, you know, we'll be commissioned to do a repeatable format. So let's say, you know, a brand wanted to do a game show within gaming or esports or sports or anything like that. Some, you know, even if it's just a game show for Twitch or Facebook or YouTube, we'd love to kind of develop a format, pitch it to someone, whether it's a channel or a sponsor, then greenlight it for 50 episodes, 100 episodes, and off we go and do that. We'd love to kind of have that relationship with a long kind of project to really kind of refine it over and over each week.
Love that. So Ian, where can people learn more about OS?
So our website is osstudios.gg. That's G for golf. That still confuses a lot of people. GG is the kind of domain name that a lot of kind of gaming websites use. We're about to launch our website 3.0, so keep an eye out for that. It's a lot better than the 2.0, which I spent most of my weekends writing when we first started. So some of the Squarespace language is a little bit higgledy-piggledy. But yeah, we're osstudios.gg. The other side of our business, which I didn't even scratch on because it's closed, but we have a physical gaming space in Chinatown called OSNYC. This has been shut since last February, March. And to be honest, I'm not sure when we'll get an opportunity to reopen this year, hopefully. But we're also on socials as OSNYC for that space. So hopefully that will come back too and OS will be firing across all cylinders again soon.
I love it. Well, it seems like you guys are firing across many, many cylinders at the moment also. So thanks again for your time. Good to chat with you as always and continued success.
Thanks, Fred. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you want to stay in front of what's next, just hit subscribe wherever you are listening to this podcast, or please follow Venture Fuel on LinkedIn. That's where we drop all of our upcoming interviews, insights on events, thought leadership on innovation. So that's definitely a place to follow us, see what's going on. Until next time.